DSOs. There are a lot of programs who are using them.
So, reasons for using modules.
Using a module enforces the programmer to separate the core of a program from the various backends of the program. So, for example, in Samba, the PassDB backend has various modules attached to it, and they all implement the same interface
to Samba. There are also other advantages of modules, like
dependencies. When you are using modules, you can separate the various parts of the program. So SMBD only needs to use libc, and modules can use LDAP or MySQL or other libraries. And that means that you can package core Samba and all the modules that depend on libraries separately. So you can have a package that contains main Samba, package for PDB MySQL, package for PDB LDAP. And people who would like to use only main Samba can use the main package. And people who would like LDAP support can install both the main package and PDB LDAP.
Dependencies also provide an advantage in fact that
programmers only need to recompile one file when they change something in the module. For example, if you change something in PDB LDAP, you only need to recompile the PDB LDAP module and not SMBD and NMBD, PDB edit, VFS test, all the Samba binaries.
Another advantage is that
people from outside of the Samba team, people unfamiliar with the source code, can more easily write add-ons to Samba. So you can wrap the header files, implement something, and distribute it as an add-on to Samba.
There are, at the moment, a couple of people
doing add-ons to Samba, like the antivirus VFS. There's someone who wrote a database VFS.
Stuff like that.
Modules aren't Samba specific. For example, the Linux kernel is a very good example of
something that's using modules.
You probably all know ModPro, Intmod,
LSMod.
Glibc, of course, with the NSS backends, LDAP, the regular /etc/passvd file. And there are also GUI applications and servers that are using modules.
Apache is a very good example. Apache is very, very modular. Well, there's a screenshot of
configuring modules in XMMS.
And you can see the .so names of the various modules. There's one problem with using modules,
or plugins, whatever you call them. There are systems out there that don't support shared libraries or loading shared libraries when a program requests it.
A couple of old
Unix systems where Samba still runs on
don't support it, so we need to support
building the code that we put into a module on Linux into the main binary
of Samba.
We're doing this in a mechanism which is very, very similar to the Linux kernel. You probably know the system where you can choose whether a module should be inside of the Linux kernel or be built as a separate file.
Samba 2.2 modules.
Samba 2.2 didn't use much modules. The only thing that was a bit modular was the VFS system. But there was a problem with the VFS system because it can only use plugins, so only separate files outside of SMBD. It cannot, VFS doesn't work on systems without shared library support.
There also was
no common system in SAML for loading modules, so the VFS system did everything itself. There was no general interface.
This is an example configuration for loading a SAML 2.2 module. You had to specify the complete path to the module. And this is in the share programs and using that VFS module. SAML 3 had a completely new system for the modules. You can specify whether modules should be built at all, whether it should be built static, shared. All modules are loaded automatically, so for users it doesn't matter whether a module is built into SAMBA or built as a separate file. If you would want to, you can also specify a specific separate file that needs to be loaded. How does this work? Well, if you don't want to worry about modules, you can just run configure and all the default modules get built, which is probably what you want. You can also specify what modules should be built static or shared if you want to overload it, using command lines that similar to that one. If there is no shared library support, then all modules are automatically linked into SMBD, NMBD, etc. Configuring modules. Modules are automatically installed into user lib SAMBA, and then the name of the subsystem. There are several places in SAMBA where the subsystem requests a module. For example, the ClassDB backends, VFS, RPC. Here's an example of the ClassDB backends being MySQL. In this case, the MySQL module is used with database 1, and the module uses a special configuration parameter. The first part is an identifier, so it could be something the module specifies, and the name is something specific to that identifier. So in this case, I would have a MySQL backend using database 1. Database 1 connects to localhost with the user FMS. The identifier is totally free to the module, so it could be something that's always the same, like for the recycle module, or it could be something that the modules that you can specify yourself, like for the MySQL module. There are a couple of modules available at the moment, and there are several subsystems that use them. The VFS subsystem, and that's basically when SAMBA does opens a file, reads a file, writes a file, it uses the Unix functionality underneath, but it can pass that through a virtual file system, so you can overload VFS and say something like, if I open a file with a specific name, that's not allowed, or stuff like that. That's what a module can specify. Then there's the ClassDB subsystem. ClassDB is what SAM is in NT. So it stores the SAMBA users' passwords, information. There are a couple of backends available at the moment. Most people use either the plain text backends,
which load /etc/samba/smb-posvd, or use PDB LDAP for using users from LDAP. Then there's Harshnet, which provides conversion from and to various char sets. I think this is probably the something most people are not interested in, because you can usually use iconf to convert to and from various char sets, and there's not really a reason to extend this far. Then there's IDMAP. IDMAP stores the mappings between Unix and Samba users. So there's currently two backends, IDMAP TDB, the default, or IDMAP LDAP. The old subsystem where Andrew Barton has been working on contains a couple of modules that do authentication. So they verify whether a user that tries to log in is a valid Unix user, and whether the password is correct. Then there's the RPC subsystem. This is basically also not too interesting for most people here. It provides Windows registry, Windows RPC calls. PassDB currently has a couple of backends, TDB, SMB, PassDB, LDAP, PostgreSQL, MySQL. Basically, it's just where the data is stored. PassDB is something like the NSS for Samba, whatever you want to call it. Multiple modules can be loaded at the moment, so you can, for example, have first the TDB backend and then the LDAP backend, and store all your machine accounts in TDB and store all your regular user accounts in LDAP. VFS, where I talked about already, you can do several things with VFS, like auditing the operations users are doing on files. So you can write to your syslog, user A, open that file, roads, etc. A couple more. Another interesting one is Recycle, which provides Recycle backend. It's very, very similar to the Recycle bin on Windows. So if a user deletes a file, it doesn't actually get deleted, but it is moved to a Recycle directory. Read only, I think it was from Alexander Bokovoy, makes a share read only for a specific time. So you can force users to not have write access after like 6 o'clock or something like that. Antivirus is also a very useful backend. It can automatically scan files that users are writing to their share, so you can prevent viruses from getting on the Samba server. And the VFS also works with various modules at the time, so you can have a recycle bin and also log what users are doing, for example. This is basically an example of what would happen if an SMB client would open a file. The SMB client would contact Samba. Samba would do a Windows to POSIX mapping. The POSIX, POSIX mapping would go to the VFS. VFS recycle would check the open. VFS antivirus would check the open, and then the open will really, really happen. In Samba 4, the actual there's a new VFS system, anti-VFS,
which actually happens in between Samba and the Windows to POSIX mapping. And the Windows to POSIX mapping doesn't always have to happen. So you can
hook onto the functions that NTVFS, the regular Windows file system, does. Like I said, Carset is not very interesting for most people here. There are a couple Carset modules available at the moment that can be used when people don't have the standard iConf library available. iConf provides conversion between UCS2, ASCII, CP8550 on most systems, but it isn't installed, and then SAM has some fallback. Weird is a special test module which can be used to track down custom conversion. IDMAP, it's maps between Unix and Windows users. I think it currently only stores them. I'm not sure actually. I think it currently stores them only. Not sure. Does IDMAP currently only store ID mappings, or does it also map them? Ah, okay. So you could write your own IDMAP backend that, for example, loads a plain text file and maps certain sits to UIDs or whatever you want. Then there's Wolf. Wolf, one of the things that's always used is Wolf. Wolf provides authentication. It checks various things and allows, denies, or lets the user pass through. The RPC isn't too interesting either. It's, Windows Remote Registry calls. Remote Procedure calls. Developing your own modules. What happens in SAM basically is a plugin file is loaded whenever the module is initialized, or SMBD has an internal function that calls the initialized function on the module. Then the module registers one or more backends for subsystems, and the subsystems keep a list of available backends and use the backends whenever they need it. This is a very, very basic module. It just calls, just returns successfully and prints a message. And I'll show some sample source code. For example, there's the is this better? This is a very simple module that Andrew Bartlett wrote, which forces the owner of a file the user is trying to access to be the current user, which is actually needed when accessing profiles at some moments. You can see here it's the main SAM includes.h, and here the module is registered. Register VFS, fake perms, and a list of functions that is overloaded. And in this case, we overload stat. So
here's the step function things on top. Let me just show what happens when you try to test it.
There are a couple of development tools available in SAMD at the moment. There's a VFS test, which can test VFS modules. And there's PDB edit, which can be used to test PassDB backends.
So if I try to use VFS test here,
first I load
fake arms. Then I simulate and connect
from the user.
And now I try to do a stack on a file like things log. With this file, I'm already the owner. Let me just
create a
new session.
For example, if I create a file,
foo, and make root the owner foo, and now try to stat foo.
Now, Jelmer is still the owner. And if I try to open foo,
read write, I get a
next
access denied,
like you would expect.
So that's basically I can develop a very simple SAML module. Let's get back to presentation. Here are a couple of tips.
The Samba API is very confusing and a bit messy in 3.0. There are very, very much functions available at the moment, and you probably don't need them all. So I suggest you start with the header file from the subsystem that you are going to use, like include / vfs.h or include / passdb.h. There are a couple of example module files in the examples directory in the Samba Torval or CVS repository. They might be useful for starting out with. And helper utilities are also very useful, so you don't have to restart SMDD every time. What happens, for example, when you try to load a PassDB backend that's set to MySQL? The PassDB subsystem tries to load MySQL. It doesn't find it because the module isn't loaded yet. So it tries to load actually you see an error there. It tries to load user local samba lib pdb / mysql.so. And when it has loaded that file, it executes in a pdb mysql, which registers the backend, and then the PassDB subsystem can actually find the backend and use it. Here are some references for building your own modules. You can use the SAMD Developer's Guide, the Implementing SIFS book from Chris, which you probably only need it when you want to do low-level stuff. And it's the same case for Ethereum. SAMBA modules have to be GPL or at least GPL compatible. In order to be compliant with GPL, they also have to use GPL compatible libraries. So you can't just put in some of your proprietary code by linking a VFS module against a proprietary library.
The future.
Samba 4 has a very, very much extended module system. Stefan Metzmarker has been working on it. There are a lot more things modular. Stuff can still be compiled statically. And there's now also a pre- and post-load system. Preload means that you can load advantages, you can load modules before you are going to use them. So you don't have to spend time loading the module when the user asks for something. And there's post-load, which actually does the same thing that is currently happening. Postload is very useful when you're trying to debug a problem with the module, because the modules are loaded after the connection from a client comes in. There are also going to be a couple more subsystems, the NTFS, NTVFS subsystem that I talked about already, the registry, which I've been working on. GUMS, I'm not sure what the actual status of this. Okay, it's that. So there's going to be no GUMS, and there's probably going to be some other replacement for PassDB. There are several process models. I'm not sure whether they're actually going to be modules, but I guess so. Perhaps several binders. Here's some other ideas for new modules. I think there were people interested in implementing an exchange for RPC 5, but I'm not sure when that's going to happen. We currently already have the remote registry and anti-user.dev backends for the RPC, for the registry. We're also going to add a few optimizations. The ability to unload modules, I'm not sure whether that's a good idea, but it might be useful, for example, for unloading modules that are crashing. Some other points that for surely need to be improved are somewhat more restricted API, because if you currently try to use the Samba API, there's so much functions that you don't know what you use. It should be more easy to access only a few of the functions. And probably a toolkit with a devil package and a few headers and libraries, so you can easily build your own modules without having to install the Samba source. We're also going to put some of the subsystems into various libraries, perhaps. I'm not sure whether that's going to happen. And this might be useful for integrating with projects like KDE and GNOME. And then there's the config changes. SMB.conf currently doesn't fit the module interface very well, because you have to specify modules before, specify the config parameters before the module is loaded, and that doesn't work very well. So there might be changes in this area as well. Where was it? The slides are at that location. Any questions?
One interesting thing is whether we will be able to load and unload the modules dynamically, because that's one of the questions you may be sure to be asked about from a user. If you can load modules runtime and unload them.
Sorry?
Is it possible to sooner or later implement the mechanism to be able to load and unload modules into Samba at runtime?
I think it's going to be quite hard.
It's not particularly useful, but that's one of the questions you may be absolutely sure to be asked about from users.
Kernel module unloading in the Linux kernel has been a nightmare, and in fact there was serious debate about removing the ability to unload modules completely in the 2.6 kernel. It ended up being an optional feature as to whether you could unload modules. The problem with unloading modules is reference counting all of the internal variables of the module, and that adds a massive amount of complexity. I think for the Linux kernel it's arguable that module unloading is important, but for Samba, the use of module unloading would be extraordinarily rare, and yet it would increase the complexity. Very likely it would double or triple the complexity of all modules in Samba. So that sort of overhead for such a minor feature is just not worth it. It's very complex task to add the ability to unload modules. We will not be doing module unloading. What we could do is that new connections do not get the module, so disable new instances of a module, but actually removing the module from memory on a live SMBD or a live daemon would be an extremely bad idea. I would be dead against that idea of adding code to support that. Anyone who you can do an implementation of module unloading in a few minutes, but it will take you the next 20 years to get it right.
And how difficult it is to change configurations options on the fly. I'm thinking like a Java management extension. You know, you have this management server, you just connect with the generic GUI and change options on the fly.
It isn't that hard, I think. Perhaps we already have a function for something like that. Not sure. I think Samba 4 has something like that. Just one function that lets you specify one line as interpreted.
Yes, Yolam is right. We do have that. It's possible for modules to be able to modify parameters. This was actually added into Samba 4 for a different purpose, but could be used for the purpose you mentioned. In particular, it was added in to allow unification of the command line options to our various tools and the smb.conf options. In Samba 4, when you specify a command line option, for example, the work group, what that does is that actually tells the smb.conf parser called loadparm in Samba that option has been set from the command line, whereas in Samba 3, there were two code paths, one from the command line and one from the config file. It's greatly simplified our code to have a single code path. In order to implement that, we do have a function exactly as you specified to allow you to control config options from inside modules.
Yelma, you've outlined sort of all the benefits of modules, how to write up a new module, and looked at how we've seen modules expand over the entire Samba source tree. Do you think it's possible that we could be going too far with them, that the module system is starting to be, every little bit becomes a module?
As long as it doesn't put any constraints on the programming, then it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, because we now have little bits of module loading code, you know, stubs to module loading code in almost every little bit of Samba.
Most of it is actually hidden from the modules and the subsystems. So even in Samba 4, it's even better, I think, because all modules from a specified directory are automatically loaded. So the only thing the subsystems have to do is provide a function that registers a backend, and that's everything.
Okay. Maybe I should put some oil in the fire. Implementing the configuration file loading as a module, so you can put an LDAP backend. It's done. Okay. So that was the question I shouldn't have asked. Thanks again for your talk. Next one is from Volker Lendecker. He will speak about some very complicated integration stuff with RFS, Kerberos, and whatever. You will see it.